bless the Lord. Well, aren't you glad that finally, as we start this new year, started in our own new space, anybody want to give God some praise on this today? Hallelujah! Glory to you, Lord. Woo! Yes, Lord. But when it's your own space, then you get a chance to pray, which I've done, and praying for you dedicating this space for the purpose and the will of God, the kingdom of God. We do that. I'm sure all of you have done that when you first move into your home. That was one of the first things you do is you anoint your house and pray over your house. And you know, this is the kingdom of God. It's the presence of the Lord is welcome here. And so when you're in your own space, you can do that, which we've done. And so I thank the Lord. It's been quite a journey. And this feels like, not just feels like, but this is a new beginning for us as a church family. It's a new start. And the Lord's put some things in my heart to share with you today. But before I do that, I just wanted to welcome you into 2014, our very first Sunday in a brand new year. And 2013 had its challenges, had its heartbreaks, had its heartaches, but we still came through it, praising God. Because I want you to know that there are some people that turned back during 2013, the hardships and the difficulties of life, and they gave up on God. They quit. They turned away. And so I don't want you to ever take it or to think of it as a small thing when you go through an entire year with all that you've gone through and you still continue to put God first. You know, the first day of each week to still say, Lord, I'm getting out there. I'm meeting with your people. Before I started another work week and started to all my responsibilities and all the things that I got that must be done this week, I still place you first. You have priority over everything. You have priority. You have first say. You get the first of my time. Come on, bless him. You get the first of my time. You get the first of my life. You get the first. You get the first. And the early church definitely took this on as the theme of their life, meeting on the first day of the week instead of meeting on the Sabbath as was the tradition of the Jewish people who met on the seventh day of the week. But the early church started meeting on the first day of the week because that's when Jesus actually got up from the dead. He rose from the dead on the first day of the week. So it meant something new has started. So the early church started meeting on the first day of the week. And here we are all these years later. We're still meeting on the first day of the week, but it's saying something. It's saying Christ is first. He comes first in my life. Bless the Lord our God. Well, as you know, during this time of year, this is when people start making New Year's resolutions. And all the things I'm going to accomplish this year. And at the same time, this is a time of year when lots of pastors like myself, we come up with all kinds of clever themes that rhyme. I'm telling you, I couldn't find nothing that rhymes with 14, so I ain't even try. But I do want to just talk with you just very briefly here in these few moments that we have today about what God has put in my heart for urban life for this year. And we're going to go to a couple of scriptures. But before we do, I want you just to take a look at some of these New Year's resolutions that people sometimes make.
This year, I'm going to marry Brad Pitt.
This year, I'm going to fit into this.
This year, I'm going to win American Idol.
This year, I'm going to win the Kentucky Derby.
Was blind, but...
Is it hot in here?
Now I see.
This year, I'm going to win the lottery.
I'm going to quit smoking.
I'm going to get a gym membership.
I'm going to get my degree.
This year, I'm going to tithe more.
Go to church more.
Read the Bible more.
Pray more.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So how can this year end up being different? And I believe that the way this year turns out to be different is depends upon where we put our focus. Before coming into this year, and I guess I have to go back into to last year for just a bit here. You may recall I'm flashing back now, just thinking back about last year. Last year, how close we really came to really stopping. And look at where we are now. When you stop and think about how close we came to stopping, to quitting, and look at where we are now, it's amazing. God is just amazing. Come on, bless the Lord. And what you guys may never have known, I don't know how well I've communicated this through the years, that it's always been in my heart for us to be a church that ministers in the real world, not just a bunch of people that gather in a building and call ourselves a church. So it's always been in me and Carol's heart to minister from more of a studio, multimedia type of setting, and as a church meeting in that venue to reach the world. Because we do live in a world now where very few people outside of church are even interested in church. I think that sometimes because we've been in it for so long, it becomes our world. We think that our world is how it is for everybody. But I see now that one of the reasons why the Lord took me and Carol out of full-time ministry and put us in the everyday world of folks who are going to work and dealing with life is because he wanted us to see where the majority of people are. The majority of people, their world is not centered around church. Not at all. I mean, they're centered around their profession. They're centered around their goals, their dreams. Their life is centered around just surviving for most people. There is no center. They're just simply trying to make it from day to day. They're not doing what they always wanted to do. This is nowhere near the dreams that they had when they were in high school. They're nowhere close to it. So they're just kind of just in survival mode. So their lives don't center around church. And so soul winning is a great big part of one of my motivational gifts. Back in St. Louis, I led the troops, literally led the troops onto the streets and ministering. And also in our benevolence outreach. But as time went on, that was back in the 90s, mid 90s, and as we moved on into this 21st century, America went through dramatic changes. And I began to notice that a lot of pastors, especially in quote mainstream church, were not recognizing the change. They were not recognizing what was happening to our country, that this was no longer a country where people thought in terms of turning to God in times of crises. It used to be just automatic. If there was a crisis, we turned to God. And we began to notice, for instance, after 9/11, 2001, we're into the 21st century, it became a point of debate about where we're going to turn to in this time of crisis. And so I don't know how many people picked up on that as a nation, as a whole, even though there were services and different gatherings of people to pray, but as a whole, we didn't gather as a nation to pray. There was many people that even though Billy Graham came on, President George Bush was the president at the time, and even though he brought in Billy Graham to lead our nation in prayer, a whole lot of people did not tune in to the prayer because they didn't believe in praying to Jehovah God. They didn't believe in Christianity because of where their beliefs were. As a nation, we did not turn to God. Now, those of us who are Christians, I feel like we kind of thought when we tuned in and joined in with the prayer with Billy Graham, we felt like the whole nation was doing it. We felt like the whole world was doing it. That's because that was our world. That was our reality. But that wasn't the reality for the majority of Americans. And so as we have now progressed, even another, wow, can you believe it? We're 13 years past that. We're even further away. And now to try to reach people, I remember talking about this one time, even when you invite people to church, they take it as an insult. You know, it's more of a, well, what's wrong with me that you think I need to go to church? And that is because we live in a world where the philosophy now, especially here in America, is that everybody's good. Remember that phrase that came along for a while? It's all good. It's all good. The young people would say that. But I want you to understand that when those phrases and slogans are spoken, there are people who really do believe that. It's not just a fancy slogan. It's not just the hip phrase of the time. People really do believe that it's all good. And that's why they are insulted if you tell them anything about their sin or their wrongdoing or where you stand on certain controversial subjects. Because if the belief now in our country is that it's all good, then it means that everybody's right. And therefore, no one has the right or the authority to push your beliefs off on them, because how do you know that what you believe is right? And if we're all right, then you don't have the right. Isn't that? You don't have the right. And that was always one of my debates, because if I don't have the right to do this, then what gives you the right to tell me that I don't have the right? It's just a vicious circle, isn't it? But what am I talking about today? I'm talking about the strategy that God gives his church in various seasons and times in the world. What's happening to us is new to us, but it's not new to God. The world and various nations throughout time have all gone through seasons like this. America is really still the new kid on the block. All these nations around the world that have been around for thousands of years, that can trace back their histories 5, 6, 7,000 years back. See, we're the new kids. We just started in 1776. So what are we now? 200, y'all help me. Y'all looking at me. Do the math in your head real fast. Nobody wants to do the math. We're 238 years old. I think that's right. Yeah. 2014. So we're new kids on the block. They've already been through this season of the whole nation rising up in rebellion and strife between factions and all that kind of stuff. In fact, that's what we're still looking at as we're looking at the news. We're looking at centuries old civil wars and battles. Centuries. We're Western civilization, and we believe in fighting things in an intellectual way now, and we're supposed to be being civil. But as sin, which is resident in the heart of man, gets more and more expression, all this civilized way and political way of handling conflicts is just crumbling before our eyes. And the same battles and wars that every other nation and every other season in time has gone through, it's now giving rise right here in America. We look at the news every day and it's horrendous, isn't it? The things that we are seeing. Can't even begin to enumerate it all. And so what am I getting at? Then what is to be the posture of God's people in this time? What's the perspective we're supposed to have? If our view is seen by the average person as being no different than the view of the other person, then, Lord, how are we supposed to really do anything? So I've been praying, and, you know, after the, and during August when we were really considering leaving, and the Lord brought this scripture to me and Carol during our 31 days of consecration. We were meeting for prayer. We take our lunch hour and pray, and the Lord kept bringing this scripture to my heart from Revelation 3, verses 7 and 8. Starting at verse 7, it says, "And the angel of the church in Philadelphia, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." At the time, I didn't know all of what God was saying, what he was really meaning by all of that. But I knew, because of where we were at that time, that he was speaking a word of encouragement. But I didn't know that it was going to eventually develop into a word of strategy for us in this season. Because this soul speaks of Urban Life's journey. You know, when you go back and look at the seventh verse, especially, you know, Lord, to get this word that the Lord is saying that, you know, he's the one who's holy. He's the one that's true. He's the one that has the key of David. He's the one that opens doors, and he's the one that shuts doors. And he does it in such, he opens doors that man can't open. He shuts doors that can't nobody else shut. And we've literally watched that happen to us as a church family, because what we were facing back in August was closed doors. Boy, isn't that frustrating when you know you've got the call of God on your life, the mandate of God upon your life to win souls. And then we move to this city and we get started. And ever since we've been here, one door closing after another. And at the same time, God keeps opening doors. That's an incredible dynamic when you're walking with God, of doors opening and doors shutting and wondering, okay, Lord, something is shut. And now you wait for the next thing to open. After a while, I'll just be honest with you. You get tired of that. Come on, be honest. Say, Lord, I get tired of that. I get so tired of that. But you would think that after all this time we've been walking with God, you would think that we would finally have enough faith to just know he's going to open up something else. If he's allowing a door to be closed, then there is, not maybe, there is something else that he is opening. This whole journey, this part of our journey has reminded me of that. Some of you have probably seen slogans like that get posted, or you see it on internet or something. When one door shuts, that means something else is getting ready to open. And that's something how you know that in your head. You know it in your head, and somewhere back in some experience you had long time ago, you remember that. But when it happens again, you find yourself like us, like, I quit. I'm just through. I just quit. I'm through. I'm done. Okay, God, cut. Cut. You'd be like, oh, cut the film. Stop the movie. And it's funny. Life feels that way sometimes. Like, please stop the movie, but the movie doesn't stop. Life is no cable. This isn't cable. This isn't Comcast. This isn't DirecTV. You can't just turn it off and switch to something else. God is like, no, you're going to live through this. You're going to go through this. But he's also making us a generation that understands that we're going to go through this. That's also what I saw as the Lord was revealing this to me and Carol in that part of the journey, that he is raising up Urban Life to help a generation that does not know how to go through. Unfortunately, the last, I would say, 20 or 30 so years, a lot of the preaching, especially on television, the TV preaching, has been a lot about deliverance. And that's a necessary word. It's been about breakthrough. And that's a very necessary word. But I'm telling you, God has got us in this season now where we got to learn how to not just believe God for the breakthrough, but believe God for the go through. To believe him for the go through. See, when you live with just breakthrough mentality, we end up living like the children of Israel did in the wilderness. They weren't thinking about go through. They were just thinking about getting out, not going through, get out. So that's why when they came to the place of no water, bitter water, complain. You get to a place where there's no food, complain. Get to the place where I can't find the pastor, complain. That's what happened. Remember when God took Moses up? Moses was gone for a long time. They got so mad, they decided to have a party. We're going to raise up our own God and we're going to worship him. Which is where many people go. I can't find the pastor. What are we out here for? So God is bringing us into a place of maturity, Urban Life family, where even if we can't get a hold of the pastor, even if it looks like ain't going to be no food, ain't going to be no water, there'll be no protection, there's no way we're going to get through this, that we learn. What he was trying to teach his people was to look to him. Look to him, not just to get me out of the wilderness, but what? To get me through the wilderness. So that's why I said a lot of the preaching over these past few years has been a lot more emphasis on getting us out. Get me out of this, Lord. Get me out of this. So the messages have all been about, I don't say all, but a lot of them been about breakthrough. Believe in God for your breakthrough. And so here we are in a season. We're 14 years into a new century, and God is taking us back to that old school stuff. That stuff that they used to teach and preach back in the 40s, in the 50s, in the 60s, where it was always about going through. See, my generation came off. See, we heard our parents talking like that. We heard our grandparents talking like that. But, you know, we started getting a few things. We started moving out the neighborhood and able to live in the suburbs and drive 2-3 cars and better jobs and more income. And we don't have to go through like grandma did. And some folks even got so bold as to say, the only reason my parents went through and my grandparents went through is because they didn't have no faith. If they had faith, they could have just spoke to that mountain and got through and went around all of that. But they don't understand. The reason why you got the breath to say that is because grandma and grandpa prayed through. They went through. They couldn't call the police. I done started preaching. They couldn't call the police. They couldn't afford no attorney. All they could do was cry out to God. Come on, bless the Lord today. So here we are. Now it's our turn. And I look at people like Mom, Mother Marilyn. I look at y'all and y'all just so calm. Looking at all the folks running around, struggling. I'm like, child, we ain't even started suffering. You ain't had to believe God for no gas to get you to work all week and you only got an eighth of a tank left. You ain't done nothing yet. You complaining because you done lost your credit card. We didn't have no credit cards. Come on, bless the Lord. So God is working on Urban Life concerning how he wants to use us in this season. In a time and a season where you can't convince people with words, he's going to convince them through lives. And he's talking about our lives every day. Here's the Lord. He spoke this word and it was so encouraging. He said, I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. The Lord showed me just this little connection between the open door that no man can shut. That is the result of a people who had, even though they had a little bit of strength, they kept the Lord's word. I'm looking at a people. And perhaps some of you that are watching us online today, this is the testimony of this particular house, that even with the little strength, we've never had, you know, a big, huge amount of people, never had some great big influence in this city, but how honored and privileged we felt that the Lord could speak this word to us. And no, he wasn't just talking about Chris and Carol. He's talking about the Urban Life family and the calling he has upon us. That I've been able to open up a door for you because even though you had a little bit of strength, you kept my word. You didn't deny my name, both in our personal lives and in our corporate gathering. And so I felt like the Lord told me to put the emphasis on that. This will be part of the strategy for Urban Life this year. I know sometimes when pastors talk about the new year and the strategy, there's all kinds of initiatives. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. And we're going to raise these funds and build this and build that. And here's the Lord still telling us about, talking to us about his strategy being a people that he can work through, that he can live through. So what's this open door? I believe that the open door is right in line with what he's told us all along. The Lord told us to come to Harrisburg and that he would bring us, assemble a team of people who would help us to rebuild, to restore, and renew hearts and homes in this community. So the open door that I see is not the open door to prosperity. No, that's not what I'm talking about. It can involve that, but God's always got something more, much more in mind. He's not talking about the open door for everybody to find out about our church. No, this. That could very well happen, but that's not what God's goal is. What's the open door? It's an open door to those hearts and homes. Doors that are closed because of the philosophy that it's all good. Doors that are closed because of the belief that you don't have the right to push off your beliefs on me. Hearts and homes that are closed right now. But God says he can use a people who, even though you got a little bit of strength, you're not going to deny my name. You're going to keep my word. And God's going to use that to create open doors. Part of the reason why we're online and all of that, because it's helping us to get around some doors. It still amazes me. Some people who have never, ever been in our presence physically, who God used these little quick little snippets of video clips that we send out. And, you know, I put these flags up to show you the nations that we are reaching. It's incredible. And what's so funny is, let me tell you some prophetic significance of this. We created these flags when we first moved here to Harrisburg back in 2005. It was just in our heart. Now here, my God, all these years later, in September 2004, Mom can tell you, when she was there in our first building, we had all these signs. It went all the way around. I had them all the way around the room because it was just in our heart to reach these nations. Then internet wasn't like it was now. We didn't have no webcast. We didn't have so God just said, you guys always hear me talking about this. Do the best you can with what you got. And the Lord spoke this extra little phrase to me today, a couple of days ago, as I was thinking about that. Do the best you can with what you got. And he said, because I'm going to do the best that I can with what you give me. Come on, bless the Lord. But these flags represent all those nations that was in our heart to reach them. And now today, by internet, we've reached them. What? Why? Because God opened up a door. For people who had a little strength, we didn't have thousands of dollars to get on cable TV, TBN network, Daystar. We didn't have none of that, but just a little strength and a people willing to keep his word and don't deny his name. God opens the door. So for 2014, I still hear the same thing. as we're gathering each week, and as God is using you where you work, where you live, he's going to open doors. And barriers that have always been there, money barriers that have been there, time barriers, relationship barriers, even the barrier within you that says, I'm not qualified. God, I don't know what I'm talking about. What if I get into a debate with these people about these philosophies and beliefs? You know what the answer is for the debate about philosophies and beliefs? It's to be like the man who Jesus healed who was blind. When they got into the debates with him about it, whether it should have been done on the Sabbath or not, and he said, look, all I know is that I was blind and now I can see. Come on, bless the Lord. So that's your debate, because people can fight with you about your beliefs, but nobody can fight with you about your testimony. And the word of the Lord says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and what? By the word of our testimony. You can't take my story away from me. I know what he did for me. Come on, bless him today. So God's going to grant some open doors. And you look for them this year, no matter what's going on in your family, in your finances. You look for open doors. God says this will be a year of open doors for ministry in hearts and homes. Thank you, Lord. Then I want to just end with this one. Wow, I didn't know I was going to end up here today. In Colossians, the Apostle Paul was writing, and he says this to the church in Colossae: continue steadfastly in prayer, watching therein with thanksgiving. And then he makes this request, with all praying for us also, that God may open unto us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. And so along with our praying, you know, continue steadfastly in prayer. But this one gets real personal. It's Pastor Chris. I'm telling you, just like the Apostle Paul. I want you to pray for your pastors that God would grant us an open door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Now, Paul was literally in bonds. He had been in prison a number of times. I'm not in prison, but here's my bonds. I'm yoked up with the Almighty God. I must do this. I'm his servant. So I look at my wife and say, yes, we are, aren't we? We don't do this because we're seeking fame, fortune. I know there's a lot of pastors. I don't say this to boast about myself or anything, but I watched my brother in ministry, and the last thing that I wanted was to be a senior pastor. I was fine where I was. I loved being an armor bearer. Love being in it. And that's not an easy position to hold. But God graced me for it, to be able to take the blows and intercede and, you know, taking pressure off of him. I did way more than just the carrying the briefcase. I know many people think armor bearer is the person that carries the briefcase for the pastor. No, I'm talking about God waking up me and my wife in the middle of the night and having us to intercede and pray for him countless times. Can't even put a number on it. You know, first ones there, last to leave every Sunday. Because watching out for the man of God, interceding, praying, taking on the total administration and organization of the ministry, so that the last thing he would have to worry about is organization, administration, accounting, bookkeeping, so he could just be free to minister. I was fine there. Look, did not want to be in this. What am I saying? I'm saying this because as one who is now a bond servant, and the call is upon me. I'm not, me and Carol aren't doing this because of some ego trip. There are many, many people who have gotten into ministry because they saw it on television or they watched it, they grew up in it in church, or they had some type of a charismatic gift and they automatically thought it meant they needed to be in the pulpit and to pastor. This is nothing, has nothing to do with fame, fortune, none of that. In fact, my orientation for ministry, and I've said this to you guys many times, wasn't even pulpit ministry. It was missions. And it still is. I mean, it's the reason why we give to China. It's the reason why we're supporting John and Carrie Shuey and their trips to go to Pakistan and India. You have pastors who winning souls and discipling people. That's us. Fame, having big numbers, all of that. Well, I'm like anybody else. Yes, we'd like to see more people, but not just for the sake of more people, but for the sake of the mystery of Christ being able to be preached to more people. So when I say this, I'm not talking about an open door for us to become famous and well known. I don't want to be the next Life Center. I don't want to be the next Christ Community. I don't want to be the next Evangelical Free Church. See, I'm thinking of all the big, huge ministries in this area. I'm not talking about just being the next. I'm talking about us taking up our place on the wall, the place that urban life is supposed to have in this city. We take on our role because there's a people that we're called to. And it's very different. We get the hard cases. I just want you to know. Why do I say that? Because I know I am. You're looking at a man who as a kid tried to kill his sister at 11 years old because I had such a violent temper. So just think about your lives and where you come from and what you've been through. And can you see God's assembling the hard cases? And so when God assembles you, the hard cases, he brings in a team of people that can deal with it, that can handle it. And so as we are praying, Lord, give us an open door to speak the mystery of Christ. Give us an open door. That's where Pastor Chris is coming from. Lord, give us those who you have put your finger on and said you're supposed to be at Urban Life. When Caleb, the man in the Bible, he had been part of the children of Israel who had had to come through the wilderness and wander around in the wilderness for 40 years with people who, you know, from his standpoint, imagine how he felt like, wow, God, this could have been over in 10 days. I think it's actually like 11 days. 11-day journey that has taken 40 years to get through. So finally, you know, the day comes, he's ready to go, and Caleb is all fired up, and you understand he's 80 years old then, and Caleb's still like, look, I'm still just as strong. I'm ready. Give me my mountain. Give me my mountain. In other words, there's something I was placed on this earth that was for me. And Lord, before I go, give me my mountain. Let me finish the purpose for which you put me in this earth. And so that's where we are today. Lord, give us our mountain. Give us the people that are supposed to be part of the Urban Life Family Center. Our team, our households, the husbands and wives, the single parents, the moms and dads, the cousins and aunts and uncles. See, I always got to talk about it at that level because it's not just a congregation to me. It's families. God raised us up to build people so that the people can build their families. And then do something very unique for Harrisburg. these families build a ministry. See, we're all used to the paradigm where a pastor comes to town and rallies some people and we build a ministry. God said, no, I want you to build the people and have the people build their families. And then the families will build the ministry. Woo! Come on, say yes, Lord. So that's what he's promised us for this year. And I'm honored to be able to say this in your hearing today, that that's what 2014 is all about. It's, Lord, we're praying for the open door for the mystery of Christ to be spoken, the open door that no man can shut, that we can get to these hearts and homes. Thank you, Lord. So the New Year's resolution is not all about what I promise to do and what I'm going to try to do. No, the New Year's resolution is, Lord, I make myself open and available to you so that you can work through me your plan. Bless the Lord. Come on, give the Lord a hand today. Thank you, Lord. So here's what the resolution can look like for us.
This year, I'm going to look into building wells in third world countries.
This year, I'm going to learn to put the needs of others before my own.
This year, I'm going to get involved in my church. Not because somebody recruited me, but because I'm sick of sitting on the sidelines, just pretending to play the game.
This year, I'm going to spend time with my family and friends, even if I feel like I have nothing left to give.
This year, I want to give God permission to shape me into who He wants me to become.
Whatever that looks like.
Whatever that looks like.
Whatever.
Oh, bless the Lord. Isn't that wonderful today? Thank you, Lord. Come on, just join in with prayer with me. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that you have given us as your people called by your name. We humble ourselves. We pray. We seek your face. We turn from our wicked ways. We turn from our selfish ways. We turn from our self-centered, focused ways. And Lord, we open up ourselves to you. Lord, use us in 2014. May this be the year that we see you do mighty things through us, in our homes, on our jobs, in the neighborhood. The simplest thing as a hug or a smile. The open doors that you will give us. We say, yes, Lord. We say, yes, Lord. Just make up your mind right now that you're not going to try to preserve yourself, preserve your reputation. Just, Lord, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. I say, yes, Lord. Yes and amen. Yes to your will. Yes to your way.